Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I read the Gospels, I'm struck of where the disciples found himself after Jesus had been crucified. Do you remember where the disciples went? They went and they hid themselves behind doors. Why were they hiding behind locked doors? They were afraid, weren't they? They were afraid that what has happened to Jesus might happen to them. And out of that fear, they stayed out of the public. They stayed out from others because they were afraid for themselves. But I love what Jesus does. And this is what Jesus does over and over again. Even though the doors were locked, what did Jesus do? He appeared where they were at. In the very first words out of his mouth, peace be with you. So whether you're here at church or at your home behind locked doors, guess who can meet you just where you're at? Jesus. That's right. And the words that Jesus shares with us today and every day, the first words that he shares with you and me are these: peace be with you. We all need that, don't we? We need to know that in the midst of a turbulent world, you know, the disciples were afraid of the persecution of the Jews. Today we're living in a fear of a pandemic of the coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, or the COVID-19 virus, whatever you want to call it, all right? Schools have been closed. Churches aren't gathering. Activities have been postponed or canceled. March Madness is canceled. Isn't that madness, right? But in the midst of this crazy world, wherever you might be, guess who comes to you? Jesus. He says, peace be with you. I think that's what we need. We need Jesus, and we need peace. And so not only does Jesus go to the disciples, but earlier on in his ministry, Jesus is going up back to Capernaum, back to Galilee, and he cuts through Samaria. Normally, Jesus and the disciples, normally Jews go around Samaria just to avoid this unclean part of this world. But here, Jesus decides to go through Samaria because he wants to bring peace to not only a woman, but to a whole village. And so Jesus has this interaction with the Samaritan woman. He asks her for water, and then Jesus offers a living water that if you drink it, you will thirst no more. And this woman is curious. This woman wants to know more. Jesus offers something that this woman needs. In fact, Jesus says this. Let's read this verse together. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so for this woman, where did she normally go for water? She went to a well. And here she is going by herself at not the normal time. But Jesus offers her something better, something greater, a living water so that you will never thirst. A water, a well that will spring up from within. And this woman wants this because we get thirsty, don't we? We need to fill ourselves with the things of this world. In our physical bodies, we have needs. I think if you went shopping this past week and you were looking for toilet paper, this is what the shelves look like, right? In this coronavirus craziness, all right, what are people stocking up on? Toilet paper and hand sanitizer and anything that might kill germs, right? Water. You know, when I went to Sam's Club, the toilet paper was gone, but there was water, but you can only get two cases at a time. And it's just kind of crazy because we think, well, maybe if we have enough stuff, we'll be okay. We'll have enough toilet paper. Our bum won't hurt. I don't know why people want toilet paper, but it's a crazy world. And people are looking to stuff to fill them. People are thinking, if I just have enough stuff, if I just take care of myself, I'll be okay. But today, Jesus offers something better. Maybe you yourselves are you know, thinking it in your life. What are you lacking right now in your life? Maybe you look at your cupboards, you look at your storage, you look at your supply of toilet paper, and you say, I'm kind of running low. But I think Jesus is more concerned about something else in our lives. Where is your heart? What are you pursuing? If you're really honest with yourself, where in your heart and in your life are your shelves empty? Maybe you avoid that aisle because you know that whenever you go down that aisle in your heart and your life, you get to those shelves and you see that they're empty, that you're lacking. It might be an area where you've still got this sin that you're holding on to. Maybe it's a grudge that you want to get back with somebody else, but instead it's just hurting you. Maybe it's fear. Every time you go down this part of your life, you're afraid for yourself or a loved one. I think each one of us, there are areas in our lives where we're lacking. And when we look to this world, when we look to a physical well, when we look to the shelves of this world, it's not going to fill us. It's not going to provide us what we need. And even if we have enough of it, eventually it's going to run out. Right? Eventually, we're going to need something more. And so Jesus comes to offer us today what we need the most. And really, I think this is worship. This is a relationship with Jesus. This is Jesus present in our lives in a way that it wells up. It wells up from within. It wells up with this peace that passes all understanding. And so this woman kind of gets in this dialogue and continues this dialogue with Jesus. And they talk about worship. In Samaria, she says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. In my trip to Israel, there are many high places where there were altars set up for people to worship at. And in the Upper Kingdom, instead of worshiping in Jerusalem, they set up their own high places and they worshiped there. Well, the Jews claimed that the one place to worship was in Jerusalem. And so Jesus tells her that there is a time coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, where you'll worship neither in Talmadge Lutheran Church or in your home, all right? But this time is coming, all right? Jesus said, to kind of get us ready, it's not about honoring God with our lips. It's not about, you know, being in the pew. What matters is not that our heart is far from God. What matters in our worship of Him is that we worship first and foremost out of our heart. So whether you're sitting in a pew here at Talmadge Lutheran Church, we've probably got about 25 people here, or you're sitting at home, or you're watching this live, or you're watching this recorded on Facebook, it's not about where you're at that determines worship. It's about the experience of your heart. Jesus goes on to say this, that the Samaritans, Jews worship what they know. Salvation comes from the Jews, and of course from the Jews comes Jesus. So Jesus says that there is a time that will come when true worshipers will worship the Father in what? If you can read that with me, we will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That's right, in spirit and truth. These are the kind of the worshipers that the Father seeks. And so because God is spirit, we must worship in spirit and in truth. And so instead of focusing where we worship, Jesus focuses on whom we worship and how we worship. I marvel at the fact that this is a scripture reading for this Sunday of Lent, and it's a sign. And yet here in this day of the coronavirus where we're worshiping streaming, it doesn't matter where we worship. Because worship isn't just something that happens in this building. Worship is something that happens in our hearts. Worship happens when we recognize Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. When we acknowledge that Jesus is God's only Son who died on the cross to pay us for our sins. And so today, we look at the cross. Today, we acknowledge that just as Jesus came to the Samaritan woman, he comes to us. That the reason that we can have a living well that rises up from within us is because Jesus took our place on the cross. Jesus died the death we deserve, paying for our sins. So that when we repent and when we confess, our sins are washed away. And when we have Christ, we have everything. When we have Jesus, we have forgiveness, we have life, we have salvation, we have a relationship with our Father. We are God's beloved sons and daughters in this world and the world to come. There is nothing in heaven and earth that can separate us from the love of God. Can the coronavirus separate us from the love of God? Nope. If we're worshiping here or we're worshiping at home, can that separate us from the love of God? No, we worship in spirit and truth. We worship believing and trusting that Jesus, who died on the cross, who rose again, is our Savior. And because we believe in him, what wells up from within us? Life. Life, eternal life, is in you and I right now. So I'm going to close with this little story. Back in the 30s, there was a musical called The Showboat, all right? I've never seen the musical, but one of the characters, he says this. He describes himself as, I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living, but I'm scared of dying. Have you ever been there? I think sometimes this world, it wears us down. Yesterday was just a hard day as I was going back and forth. Do we worship? Do we not worship? I want to worship, but is it safe for our people? I was reading about the corona outbreak in New York, the worshipers in that synagogue. About a third of the people who got the coronavirus were hospitalized. Even though the death rate is low, it's like if you get this, it can be very serious, especially for our elder population. And so I came down to the fact that I'm not afraid, but I want people to be safe. I want people to hear God's word, and we could do it whether we're in person or streaming. And so for this season, I think this might be what's best, to worship God in spirit and in truth, that even if we get sick and tired, we don't have to be scared of dying. Because in Christ, we have eternal life. I think the author of Hebrews puts it best this way. Let's read this verse together. So God has given both his promise and his oath. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the promise that lies before us. And this is the way it ends. Let's read this. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Amen? So in this crazy season, hold on to the anchor of your souls. even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.